Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 185, part 1, Battles. Today is Friday, February 4th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's club. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. You can also call the comment line. That number is 1-877-489-0922, and the local number is 612-208-0916. Scripture links within the message are in the show notes at Pastor Paul's blog. Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. Part 1 is on Friday. Part 2 is on Sunday. For the month of February, these are the messages: Battles, Division, Nothing, From Nothing to All Things. Have a great month of February. We'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled, and it's a takeoff on a message I had sometime before this. It's called Battles. And I think we're in an age of battles right now. Personal battles. Sometimes when a person is going through personal battles, they don't want to even hear you say that. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. Theological battles, and people are battling of all kinds of theories. Doctrinal battles, and they're arguing now just as vehemently as they were 2,000 years ago. Family battles, church battles. I mean, there's a whole war going on right now. Who's got more truth than the other? Church battles? Battles in our spirits? Before I get into Psalm 78 and 9, I'd like to minister from Psalm 24 and 8, and it says like this: Who is this King of glory? The Lord is strong and mighty. The Lord is mighty in the battle. Of course, that is Jesus Christ. It says he conquered sin and death and hell. And so, what more is there? You having problems with some kind of a sin or worried about death, dying, sorts? Well, the Lord has conquered all of that. Maybe you're in a battle. Maybe you're so nervous that you quiver and you shake all over. How many have been in a battle like that this week? Where they just sort of quiver all over? Of course, you wouldn't tell me if you had, because you see, if you want to win a battle, you have to recognize the author and finisher of your faith. Who is this King of glory? Well, now you got to take your mind off yourself and your own battles. The Lord is strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in the battle. And you have to go on that right now. You have to pick up on that. I'm afraid many are turning back in the day of battle. Now let's get into Psalm 78 and 9, and it says like this. The children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. It's easy to do when you get up and you know you're going to face a battle. You often think of running. You think of not going to school. You think of not facing that job or that boss or that situation or that person. But see, if you don't face that situation right then and there, then that situation is going to be facing you. Well, you can turn your back on it. Just turn around, it'll still be there. Battles are made to be won, and it says, who is the King of Glory? The Lord is strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in the battle. And so we face that trial and we face that situation. And we are armed also, and we have bows also, and so are we going to turn our back in the day of battle? And I guess the question comes tonight, you listening on the radio to this tape, you out here in this audience, is your obedience active? See, an obedience that isn't active isn't an obedience. Well, I'd like to do that. Well, I've been thinking about it, and I've given it a lot of thought, but that doesn't mean anything. That's the same as turning your back in the day of battle unless you actively become involved. But is your obedience sound? Well, you'll find out if your obedience is sound, because when a trial comes up, you might cut and run. Is your obedience sincere? Well, what is sincere? We say that all the time. We write letters. Sincerely yours. We don't even know the person. Sort of a hypocrisy. Sincerely yours with love, so-and-so. How sincere are we? How active are we? And how sound is your obedience? Well, it'll be tested. And it'll be tried. Now, I'm not saying that in a negative sense. I'm saying that's just a fact. And if you will suffer for Christ when God calls you to such an errand, will you do that? I was watching this minister last night, and I won't mention names because I'm on tape. I watched him. And did a fantastic job. And all of a sudden, he did a switch. Complete turnaround. Because there was that spirit of battle out there. And I was sitting down here and I was listening, and I felt that spirit of battle come over the audience. And I felt the Holy Spirit then speaking. And I saw that ministry take on an active and a sound and a sincere call to the battle. And a lot of the folks were just sort of partying, kind of like a little party spirit. But when the Holy Spirit started to deal, was another story, wasn't it? But the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. And why? I mean, they were armed to the teeth. Why did they turn back? And we are armed with a King of Glory. And why do we turn back? Because we have been taught that there is no suffering, that there is no, it's all negative and so on like that. And it says, if you do not suffer the sufferings of Christ, You'll not share in the glories of Christ. Turn back. Why do we turn back? Because of not being committed? Probably a little cowardice or laziness or uncaring. Oh, who cares? I got my own troubles, and I just want to sit down, and I want to sit in my own mess. Well, why don't you let God bless a mess and get up out of that mess? See, when you sit down in your mess, it's the same as turning your back in the day of battle. I don't care what's going on out there. I've got my own mess to sit in, and I'm going to sit in it. So you don't go nowhere, because it's just like turning your back. Now, when you do that, you're open to defeat every time. Now, I know you listening on the radio, there's a lot of people don't like this kind of thing. They don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. And you're sitting there, and you turned your back in the battle, and you know what? You turn around, it's still going to be there. It isn't going to go away. Well, if you're wondering why that they were so cowardly, let's read up a verse or two here. You'll stop wondering why. Sometimes you have to check things out before it happened. Why is this person that way? Let's go back a ways and we home movie it backwards. A couple frames, and we circuit the frames a little bit at a time, and we find out just what happened. So sometimes when reading the scripture, we have to go back a little bit to find out why, and sometimes in your own lives. You are the walking, talking epistles known and read of men. Why are you the way that you are? Well, let's go back. Why are you so cowardly now? Why, with all of these bows and spears and your arm to the teeth with the word of God, why are you turning back? And here it is. A generation that set not their heart aright. Their heart wasn't set on the thing. And whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So, the scene has been set for a division in your heart. And now we can finally understand why the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Because they didn't have their heart set. Now, you heard somebody say like this, "Oh, I had my heart set on that thing." That's a lie. They wished for that thing, but they didn't have their heart set on that thing because they didn't get that thing. And I just wanted it ever so bad. I had my heart set on getting that dress for the prom or whatever. Well, why didn't you go out and make some money and buy that thing? Oh, well, why didn't you? Your heart wasn't really set aright. So many times in our lives, our hearts are not set aright. And whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Well, and you're going to turn back. You're going to listen to voices out there. You're going to listen to people. Are you hearing this? Now, I mean, you can have a whole lot of armor on. But if you have a heart that isn't set right, you're just like that creaky old tin thing in the Wizard of Oz. You haven't got no Holy Spirit oil on you. You're all rusty and craggy and... Huh? So that armor does you no good because, you know, a few crows can light on you and knock you down. your heart is not set aright, and the heart underneath all that armor is useless. Well, you can talk all you want to talk. If your heart isn't set aright, it don't mean nothing. Does it? That's like someone in the army, and they're all talking about, boy, we're going to have this commando situation going on, and we want volunteers. And guys will really quickly put up their hand. Me. But if their heart isn't set, you are in trouble. If they're walking along, and they're doing a whole lot of talking while they're walking, seems to me like they're trying to talk themselves into it. So many times you'll see people quoting scriptures to one another, trying to talk one another into things. You can't talk people into it. It's got to be a spiritual awakening. Well, if you're going to walk out on fear, then you have to set your heart aright, you have to set your heart in faith, and you have to move ahead with knees a-trembling, ready to buckle. Ready to go out. And you have to set your heart aright, and you got to have a right spirit towards God, steadfast. Well, I know that works. I've been in those situations. I am in that situation. And if you'll listen to me tonight, there is a way. God will make a way where there seemeth to be no way. And boy, what a beautiful situation that is when there seems to be no way. Why? Because you're going to call on the Lord. You get so frustrated in that woodland, in the bush country, and you can't find your way out. You finally have to call out. You lay down all of your spiritualities, and you call upon the name of the Lord and say, "My God, help me. I'm a mess." God can bless a mess if you won't sit in that mess. Now, there's only one thing worse than a mess, and that's two messes. Now, you've heard that song, "When a Body Meet a Body." Well, when a mess meets a mess, you got a heap of trouble. Say amen, somebody. But God is the one that can deliver you out of it. Strong He is. Mighty, the Lord mighty in the battle. Of course, now we're speaking to David here, and I believe it's the first book of Chronicles, 7 and 19 or 20. And it tells about how the sons of Ephraim were slain, trying to take away the men of Gath's cattle. Now, it appears, of course, that this happened during the time that the people were in Egypt. And it says, Ephraim's sons made a raid upon the promised land and attacked the men of Gath. And they believed it to be theirs, and they believed it according to a promise. There's a promise in the Bible that's ours, and so we're going to go and take it. And they went before they had a divine decree from God to go over and do it. And so many people read the promises of God without asking God. So you said in your word, and such and such and such, and you made a promise, and I'm going to hold you to your promise. Well, how would you like it if one of your little ones was 5 years old and he read a promise that by the time you're 15 years old, you're going to driver's training, and then you're going to be 16, you're going to have your driver's license. And he prematurely picked up on a promise and says, "I claim it for myself. It's in here and I want it." Yeah, but it hasn't got a divine decree on it yet, and I didn't tell you to go yet. And so many times we can say, "Well, the promises are there for me." But did you get the divine authority to do so? No. And that's where people go off. "But you said in your word." And the problem is that there's millions of people that right now are commanding God and saying, "But you said in your word, ask anything, and I want to be a preacher, and I want to be an evangelist." No, we just can't have, 50 million evangelists. or 50 million singers. Now, how many are hearing this? But you promise it's in the Word. But it has to have the divine authority, and there's a time involved. Now, see, you're working for Western Union, see, and you're brand new at it, and you got all your pants all tied up here like this, see, for riding his bicycle. The guy says, now, go on down, sit over there. I'll call on you when I need you. Now, I promise you, I'm going to give you messages because they come in all the time, and I'll tell you to take this message out to the highways and to the byways. And the guy gets up, and he gets anxious, and he runs over. Any messages yet? Nope. Goes and sits down, back up again. Any messages yet? No, go sit down. I'll let you know when it's time for you to go. When the message comes in, and I'll send you when I tell you, then you'll go out with a message. And that's just exactly the way we do it. We got so many messages for each other, but God hasn't sent us yet. We're premature. And consequently, we have to go into the incubator. You're not ready yet. We're 2 years ahead. We're premature birth on some promise. According to the Word. And I claim it in the mighty name of Jesus. For myself. But God didn't decree it yet. And He hasn't given you the authority yet. And He hasn't told you to do it yet. That's where we get off. You start to read all 7,000 plus scriptures and you say, thus saith the Lord, and that's the way it's going to be, and God doesn't have no say or no will in the matter whatsoever. Well, what does that mean? That means you're God already. Before the call came, before the okay signal came, that's like a race. See, you're lined up. Come on. You're lined up on your marks. Get set. And the guy jumps the gun and runs the race. Before the gun. And he runs all the way around the track. Doesn't count. Gun didn't go off yet. You hearing this? Or a guy's in a boxing match and he walks over and the guy's sitting on his stool. Sure, the idea is for you to knock the other guy out, see? And just like God says, you know, fight the devil, but He doesn't tell you to go over there. When He gives you the command to go, so many people war before they get the command from God. Are you hearing this? And they take on the responsibility, God's responsibility, to war. And the guy goes over in the corner and he knocks the guy out there. Do you think he won that fight? No. He didn't win it. Disqualified. Disqualified from the ring, disqualified from the race. Why? He didn't wait for the authority to tell him to go yet. He just said, hey, there's the track. Here's two legs. Come on, lefty and righty. Let's make it around the track. Deliver me home. Won't do any good. Got to learn to wait upon the Lord. They made God's decrees the rule of their life instead of God's revealed will. They made God's, let me say it again, God's decrees the rule of their life. Now, this is the rule of my life. I will go by it. The promises are in here and they are for me. And you got ministries all over. They're telling people the promises of God are in there. They are for you. Claim them now and don't wait one more minute. Well, I'll tell you something. That is not scriptural. Because, see, that was the rule of their life. instead of God's revealed will. And God has to reveal to you the battle plan before you get into the battle. Now, with every promise, you're going to face a battle. Well, did you know that? That you're going to face a battle every time you step in with a promise. There is a battlefield. God, you said in your word. Okay, so be it. Sit down and let me reveal my plan to you before you go off half-cocked and ruin the whole battle. And sometimes we get into fighting our own battles. And we start claiming this and doing this, and boy, we get in there, I'll show ya! Huh? God says, will you please wait? This enemy is more powerful than you. Your mind will play tricks upon you. I have to make you ready first. You're still in diapers. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. I'm 60 years old. Doesn't make no difference. You just got diapers on. You got ugly legs. That's all. How many hearing this? See, and that's where it is right now. Everybody claiming the promises of God and nobody waiting for the revealed will of God in the matter. And you know what happened to these folks? They soon fell into trouble. And people who make that same mistake will always fall into trouble. Now, you see, you get ready for this trip, see? And you get your 8-year-old boy ready and your 12-year-old girl ready and your 13-year-old girl ready and get them all and you put them in bed. Say, tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock, we're going to get up and we're getting in the camper and we're going to go on this trip. And we're going to, and here's the map, and we're going to go this way and so on like that. And the kids get up and they decide that they're going to go on their own. Well, didn't he promise we were going to take a trip? We went in his bedroom, he wasn't there, so now he promised, so we'll just go ahead on our own. Do you think that they have the right to go ahead on their own? Do you think that God can change his mind and not go that very day? Did you seek the Lord to see whether he wanted to go or wanted you to go? No, you're going to fall into trouble. I don't care how many pillows you sit on so you can see out of the windshield. See, claiming this and claiming that according to the promise without waiting for the divine authority to do so. And so what is that? It's disobedience. Did you ever disobey your parents and they said to you, well, you said. Yeah, I know what I said. But there's a time involved. I said, but that's a month from now. But that's jumping the gun on the promises. That's asking for no direction. See, because a whole lot of people never even seek God's will in matters. But only use God's word for their own benefit. And it will not work. There are people slain all across the Christian world with that very thing. Crippled in their minds, run off to here and run off to there, claiming a promise and not waiting for God's divine authority. Out there in left field. Now, I know this isn't a popular message for you out there in radio land. Well, I'm not going to be popular. I'm not here for a popularity contest. So anyway, these young men, they defended their cattle for a time. But at last, the Bible says, they turned their backs and were slain. So number one tonight, let's consider what these men did. They turned their backs. Don't you ever turn your back on a battle. It's awful hard. It's hard to explain bullet wounds in your backside. Say amen. They turned their backs instead of facing the battle when it came, instead of facing the adversary. What did they do? They dishonorably turned their backs and they fled. God help me not to do that when a battle comes, to turn coat and run. You listening on the radio, don't you turn coat and run. I don't care what the situation is. If you are obeying the Lord, don't you turn your back on Him. How can you do it anyway? Are you hearing it? Now, I think this, I'm sorry to say, but it's a very accurate picture of many Christians. They turn their back. God, that's sad. You ever been in a room where people turn their back and they just sort of, they'll see somebody coming and they'll kind of turn their back? How many have been in a situation where they had people that turned their back? Never in the whole of your life? Never? God, you must have been in a situation like that. Did you ever turn your back in the time of battle? Okay, now you on the radio, I'll ask you a question. Have you ever been known to turn your back in the day of battle? Well, I did it because this and that. No, I didn't ask you why. I'm not looking for your excuses. I'm asking you a question. Now, a point in fact here is, did you ever turn your back in the day of battle? Of course you did. How can you? There is no excuse. I was listening to that ministry last night, and it lined up quite a bit with this ministry right here. I mean, it was to the point, simple, and says there is no excuse. There is no excuse for me to turn my back, or you to turn your back, in the day of battle. Now, there is none. I've ministered that all the way through my ministry. There is no excuse. Oh, you can find them. And it says, they all made excuse. They had to make one, fabricate it, make it. Well, that's what they say. You made it up. Whew. Are you hearing this? And I believe some people do that at the very first sign of any kind of difficulty whatsoever. The Bible, it talks about, there's a lion in the way, there's a lion in the way, saith the sluggard. I'll be slain in the streets, I shall be slain in the streets. And so it is with a lot of people. They see a little bit of trouble coming, a little conflict coming up, a few little clouds rolling in their way, and they fear persecution and ridicule coming their way, and they run like a striped donkey. Ooh. Well, then I believe there are some that are just a little bit braver and they stand the first wave. When there's just skirmishes when they first get out there, and you see that in boxing a lot of times. In the first round, the guy is great because he's fencing and dancing around, you know, and pounding and feinting and kind of feeling each other out and so on like that, you know. And it looks real good. And they even trade blows, blow for blow, blow for blow. When you say, man, these guys are going to go the whole 15 rounds. They'll never run. These guys are, this is going to be a great fight, right? No, wrong. One little cuff in the cheek. One pound in the ribs. One dent in the armor. one little ruffled feather. Do you ever get your feathers ruffled a little bit? And you look sort of just, your feathers are ruffled up, huh? You look like a chicken been pulled through a knot hole backwards. And everybody sees you. Huh? And you're wounded. And so you quit. I quit. You go look in the mirror and your friends say, "What happened to you?" "Oh, I got pulled through a knot hole backwards. I give up." How many hearing this? Have you been that way? Has your plumage been frazzled as of late? Hey, you have not lived until your plumage has been ruffled. It's called humbling. It's that proud peacock. Huh? And the wind comes up and slams them up against the cage. Huh? And a couple of ugly old hens get in there and start pecking at him. And his feathers are dragging behind him. Ah, you been that way lately? Well, you're for the birds. How many hearing this? But they're very bold to begin with. But boy, they get a little bit of plumage and a little bit of their feathers is wrinkled up a little bit. And people see them. Well, you're not as great as I thought. You're not as beautiful as I thought you are. Look at you. You're a plain old bird. Look at your feathers. You haven't got it together. Your feathers aren't together. They're all yucky and greasy looking. Huh? And they're dragging in the mud. And so you go dragging off in defeat. Huh? Yeah? How many know what I'm talking about? Of course, no one knows what I'm talking about. Isn't that right? You say, "Hey, what's going on?" I give up. Everybody see me in this state of confusion and, ruffled feathers. I mean, look at me, I'm a mess. I'm just a mess! Now maybe you're sitting at home and your mascara is running down your neck. And you're feeling really bad because you're a mess. Well, the Bible says, be careful when you think you're something, be nothing at all. Now you have nothing to worry about. How many get that way at home? It's called housecoatitis. You walk around in your housecoat all day long with a gray sickness. Now what you need to do is have someone come over and pull up the shades so you can come out of that land of moles. Mole City. Before they have to cart you off. And some professors even go on a little longer and they fight a little bit longer and a little bit longer. They got a little more constitution about them. And they quote famous little sayings like, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me." And they say that three or four times, and preach, words will never harm me! Well, sound like they already harmed you. I don't care what people say! Oh, yes, you do. How many care what people say? You don't care what they say? Sure you care what they say. Jesus wept. God wept. But he also said, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're saying. But some stay a little longer, and they might even be cut off from their friends. And they say, run, you cowards, I'm going to stay forever. I'll never be like you. But you see, somehow the enemy can always find their tender spot. How many here have tender spots? Sore spots. Things where you can be touched. Maybe you'll have to give up something. Maybe that's your sore spot. Maybe you're the person that has to have the last word. You ever been around somebody who's got to have the last word? Or maybe you're the person that has to have the last word. You ever been around somebody like that? How many have been around people like that? Got to have the last word. Well, let them have it. Who needs it? Who needs to have the last word? I don't want the last one. Now I got a whole bunch more. See, the last word, people are hung up on the last word they gave out. Let them have it. Even now we're seeing battle-hardened old saints, white-haired old saints, right along with the juvenile, right along with the young saint, that seemed to wear well for a while. But when a crushing, bone-snapping blow comes, they could not stand it. Down they go. I believe in the end time you're going to find out all those that live by grace or live by law. You'll find out soon enough who God's elect people are. And you're going to be awful surprised. Those that thought they were going to be last are going to be first. And those that are going to be first are going to be last. And always the legalist thinks he's going to be first. He'll be last. On a person that's operating under the grace of God and recognizes he has a lot of faults and thinks he'll be last, well, the Bible says he'll be first. Isn't that strange? Were you laughed at this week? Did someone snicker about you? Did it bother you? Were you called names when you were kids? You remember how they used to call you names? Fatty, fatty, 2x4, couldn't get through the kitchen door. Did it bother you? Did somebody call you names this week? Have your friends forsaken you? Huh? Do you now cry, God has forsaken me? Well, whatever happened to, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Maybe you're ready to give it all up and go back into the world. The world don't want you. They don't want you. No, see, these are trials sent of God. And that's the way he separates the chaff from the wheat. And it lets us see who the true soldiers are too, doesn't it? And who are the turncoats in the day of battle? God grant us the grace that when this final battle comes on, and I'm telling you right now, we are in a battle. I felt it last night at that meeting. There is a warring in the spirit like you would not believe. And we are in a battle. God help us not to turn our back in the day of battle. But then again, going back to the children and looking at the children of Ephraim, I would say that they turned their backs and failed to defend the ark. And we have those that defend the truth. And when it comes to defending that truth, shy away from every controversy that there is. They call it a timid disposition. The Bible says not to be that way. I have not given you over the spirit of timidity. Then they'll call it a loving disposition because they're sweet and they're timid. That when the war trumpet sounds, yes, they take care of things in the rear. They go on R&R, rest and relaxation. When the trumpet sounds, brothers and sisters, they run to the rear to check out to see if there's enough stretchers for the wounded that's going to be. There's going to be a lot of wounded. We better go check on the stretchers, huh? And that's the kind of job they want. They don't want to get in the battle. They want to be part of God's army, but they want to be in the rear, bringing up the rear. And they're ever so brave when the battle isn't real hot. And I think I said in that message that when the dead bodies are laying all over, then they're not quite as brave. When the flies are buzzing around and the maggots are having a feast and the vultures are hanging around and the grim reality of war finally comes home to roost, then they're now, spiritually speaking, those are the kind of wars that's going on right now. When that happens, there's a whole lot of people that got to go check out the rear.